B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
At Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Joe Murray is in our Town Fair Tire studios.
He hasn't moved.
So, Joe Montana did a lengthy interview with USA Today Sports and Jarrett Bell. Mm-hmm. He did a phoner with them from his home in California, and the subject was Tom Brady leaving New England and going to Tampa Bay. Now, obviously, these two guys are discussed as the top two quarterbacks ever in the history of the sport. So it's natural that someone would go to Joe Montana and ask him what he thinks about it. Joe Montana said back Super Bowl week, Brady shouldn't leave. Brady should stay. Obviously, Tom Brady did not stay. He's now gone. So he did an interview. What caught you from this interview?
That Joe is shocked that the Patriots allowed him to leave, that something didn't get done prior to the end of it, because he compared the ending as to where they had the next guy in waiting in Steve Young. And he knew it. He knew that the organization was ready to switch. You know, Steve Young was a former first-round pick, number one pick. He played in Tampa. He went to the USFL prior to that. And he was an athletic guy, and you knew he was good. Well, obviously, he's a Hall of Famer now. Patriots didn't have that Hall of Famer ready to go behind him. And Tom Brady didn't physically break down the way Joe did. Like, Joe had to have surgery on his ligaments. In his elbow, because he still doesn't have feeling in the ring finger and the pinky of his throwing hand. And at the end with Kansas City, even look at the way Joe gripped the football. He only gripped it with the thumb, the index finger, and the middle finger, and that's how he spun the football. But he still managed to take them to an AFC title game. So Joe still had a lot of football left, even though he was physically broken down and he knew it was the end. I think with his discussions with Tom and maybe his mild interactions that he's had here and there, then maybe he's telling you, wow, Brady really expected to be back, and I can't believe something didn't happen to where these three people could agree on something to where he could finish his career Patriot. I think Joe really believes, ooh, Tom should have finished a Patriot, like we all do.
And yeah, he said that somebody made a mistake. He said, I don't know what's going on. He said, I don't know what's going on inside there, but somebody made a mistake. That would be Bill Belichick, Joe. If you want to have the take, just have the take. Say Bill's wrong. That's what it is. You either agree or disagree with Bill Belichick. And he said this, though. He said he doesn't believe it's about appreciation for Brady.
Yeah.
Dismissing that theory. He said, quote, he wants control. I mean, he wants a lot of control. I don't know what Tampa Bay gave him, but at some point in time, you're just a player. You can try to get what you can and do what you want, but at the end, you're still not in the hierarchy when it comes to hiring people, firing people, and all of that. I don't know what exactly he's looking for, but my understanding was that he's just looking for more control of the offense. But I haven't had a long conversation with him. I talked to him a little bit at the Super Bowl, but not enough to really get in depth. What he wants is more weapons, Montana said. That's what he said.
Dude, it goes back to everything that we thought and believed with Brady and his demeanor. You know, post game and everybody, you know, how quick he was in press conferences. How he knew last June that I don't even have pro players around me, let alone pro personnel. I don't want pro bowlers. Joe, at the end of his career, still had great guys to throw the football to. Even when he went to Kansas City, he had Marcus Allen and those guys. You know, he had guys that he could get the ball to and he could run and do things with it and make him look good. So that's telling me, and just by Joe's comments right there to Brady at the Super Bowl in their brief discussion, tells you Brady didn't tell him, I'm done there. I just need more help. Yeah, we were good 12-4. Joe, you know what it's been like on 12-4 teams when you get popped. Joe's been on some of those teams. Now, he's never lost a Super Bowl, but he's been popped before at the end of years and when the Giants ended up taking over and eventually they won their Super Bowls. That's telling me that the door was still open Super Bowl week and Brady was still possibly coming back. And that makes this more sad today. It does.
So you think he told Joe, yeah, I'll go back, but we gotta fix some things there.
Well, Joe probably said, hey, how'd the end go? He goes, well, got nobody to throw the ball to. Yeah, we need more help. We need that. We probably told him we can only do so much. You know that, Joe. You know what it's like. Just, man. And it came to this again. You see who I read more stuff on Tom Moore. Yeah, we talked about Tom Moore, the old coordinator for the Colts. You know, he's 81 years old.
I said that to you the other day. I said, how old is that guy?
There's an article out there, and I retweeted it just a little bit ago. Check me out on Twitter, @ScottZolak. And it tells a story about Tom Moore. And he was back there with the Steelers when I was a kid, coaching up Lynn Swan and Terry Bradshaw and John Stallworth. And that's where he started to get his offensive mind and how he took that Colts offense led by Peyton Manning. It wasn't Peyton's offense. That was Tom Moore. Tom Moore called all the blocking schemes, all the protections, all the combo routes. Tom Moore taught Peyton everything. And here he is, coming back out of retirement at 81 to work with Arians, who is another great offensive mind. Say what you want of Bruce Arians. Is he laid back? Yeah. Is he Margaritaville? Yeah. But the guy's coached some damn good players. He also coached Peyton. So here they are saying, you know what? Let's maximize this damn Tom Brady window. Maybe it's 2 years. But shoot, Tom, let's load up. You know what they did yesterday? They freaking went out and signed Ndamukong Suh for 1 year, $8 million, helped their defense. It's already trending in the right direction. To me, it looks like Tampa's looking at this saying, we ain't just bringing him here to sell tickets. Let's bring some good, let's try and put some good people around him. We got the receivers, Tom. Come here and let's coach this guy up and help me adapt our offense to what is going to make him look good and not get him killed on 7-step, 9-step drops at 43 years of age.
Did you catch this stuff from Montana on Bill Walsh and his relationship with Bill Walsh?
Yeah.
He said there's
a lot of back and forth here.
He said, at some point it's a business. That's why I had long talks with Bill about our relationship after he retired. The relationship that happens, everybody makes it look like there's friction, but in the end, I just had to keep my distance. Oh, he's not quoting Bill Walsh. He says at the end, he goes, I just had to keep my distance to a certain point from you because I can't become your best friend.
Who's that sound like?
Sounds like Bill Belichick. He says, because I have to make a decision on you at some point. And then he says, although Bill didn't make the decision, and I don't think he would have made the same one that was made. So Joe Montana believes that if the call were strictly up to
Walsh,
that Montana would have stayed in San Francisco. Do you buy that?
I might, because I remember it was Carmen Policy and Eddie DeBartolo. And when you're paying the amount of money that they have Steve Young sit there and you hear Steve Young chirping, and there's that divide right there. Those two guys didn't get along. Montana was friends with Steve Bono. Bono was the third guy there. Bono ends up going to Kansas. Bono was in Kansas City too. Those two guys stuck together. They were anti-Young guys. And you just wonder how much pressure came from Carmen Policy, and he was the GM at the time. DeBartolo is the owner. The stuff he was going through with all his ownership and issues with his family, it's time to make this move here. And obviously Joe was physically breaking down. Joe had back problems, he had elbow problems, he had finger problems and foot problems. You can't sit here and say that with Brady, maybe he missed some practices with the sore Achilles. But it's not like he had surgery on the damn thing.
Yeah, Joe, came back and barely, he couldn't play. He was hurt.
Joe had concussions, everything. Joe got knocked, not cold out of games. When Joe got knocked out, you could tell. His eyes rolled. He was gone.
So, I think it's different in the way they departed. I don't think, has anyone ever second-guessed the 49ers on their move to move on from Montana?
You did out there, yeah, sure. The fan base, yeah. Oh, absolutely. It took Steve Young a while to say, finally, yo, get this monkey off my back.
Remember I'm talking about now. No one questions
it now. No, nobody now. But you got two Hall of Famers.
Yeah. Sorry.
You got two Hall of Famers, but at the time, you're letting the greatest quarterback to ever play, like we're doing now, to go to Tampa, to let that guy go to Kansas City.
But I think you raise a good point. So as you're saying, they questioned it at the time.
Yeah.
People questioned it at the time when Montana was out of San Francisco. The way people are questioning Brady now.
Yeah.
But I think Brady has a better chance to prove his former team wrong than maybe Montana did when he went to Kansas City. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think Joe just tried to strap together to play and just continue to make some money, where Tom realistically thinks, and this is where it's weird with Tom because of where he was drafted and that chip on his shoulder and his ability to keep proving people wrong. And he even texted me this, you know, over a month ago, prior to even entertaining Tampa Bay's decision or anybody's decision to take him. Can't wait to prove everybody wrong again. Can't wait to prove everybody effing wrong again.
617.
Who's everybody? And that's the question, right? I'm not texting him back. Well, who's everybody you're talking about? Kind of speaks for itself.
Yeah. All right, let's get to your calls. Joe Montana speaks on Tom Brady and says he does not believe it was about appreciation. It was about control, and it was about the offense. I don't know that I agree with that. And I also, I'm not convinced that Bill Walsh wouldn't have moved on from Montana if it were up to him. I don't know if I agree with that take either. We'll get your thoughts on this. 617-779-0985. We'll do it next after the action update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Joe Murray is in our Town Fair Tire studios.
He hasn't moved.
So, Joe Montana did a lengthy interview with USA Today Sports and Jarrett Bell. Mm-hmm. He did a phoner with them from his home in California, and the subject was Tom Brady leaving New England and going to Tampa Bay. Now, obviously, these two guys are discussed as the top two quarterbacks ever in the history of the sport. So it's natural that someone would go to Joe Montana.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Good. I just saw a good tweet of yours, though.
Which one?
You were replying to Bert about the tweet about the celebrities.
Celebrities, really? These massively rich, you know, over the top. Hardy would love this one.
The headline is this:
to combat coronavirus.
Page six from the New York Post. Right.
It's so typical celebrity New York crap.
It says celebrities are going makeup free while social distancing. And Bert Breer retweeted it and wrote, heroic acts all around us. Yeah. #courage.
Hashtag courage. Yeah. These morons.
That's good. That's good. It made me laugh. We need to laugh. We need to laugh in these times, though.
Yeah, sure do.
That's what we get Tiger King for. 617-779-0985.
Where were you?
Bridgewater.
Go ahead. What do you got?
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Good, man.
Dave.
just wanted to say, long-time listener, first-time caller. You guys are doing a great job in these troubling times. So hats off to all of you in the studio or working at home. That's the first thing I wanted to get off my chest there, because you guys are keeping a sense of normalcy in these difficult times. So, again, hats off to you guys. I just wanted to make a point on the Brady to Tampa Bay thing. A lot of people are talking about the Jameis Winston 30 interceptions and things like that and all of his turnovers. Let's just both all agree that Brady and Winston are two different ends of the quarterback spectrum. We all know that. But Zoe, you can probably hit on this. If you're a quarterback, you're a young quarterback, shouldn't you progress as years go on, especially if you have weapons around you? Like, he had the last 5 years, 15, 18, 11, 14, and 30 picks. So he should be progressing, not regressing. So the point that I'm trying to get to is, that defense on Tampa is underrated because they're on the field way too much with all those turnovers.
Yeah,
imagine this.
Dave, we've got some sound.
Go ahead.
We've got some sound for Dave next segment that he's going to want to hear. It's amazing.
Oh, good.
On that very topic.
Is it the press conference stuff?
When they reference Arians.
Yeah.
Bruce Arians last night.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
The kid's sloppy, plays sloppy. I think you can only coach people the way they want to be coached or how much they'll tolerate coaching. Some people take it more, some don't. Tom seems like to be one of those guys that absorbs everybody he's worked with or adapts to them. And it's going to be interesting coming out of there, because once you get around Brady and you see the way he does things, it's really going to make you dislike what you went through probably with Jameis Winston.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I look at the Bucs and I think everybody does. They're a playoff team now. The question is, how good of a playoff team are they?
See, Brady put the homework in to watch our defense, and he talked to them. Meaning in the introductory meeting that we get, where Brady interviewed them, they didn't interview him, right?
Yeah.
Like, he talked about the final five games. I watch you guys on defense. You guys trended better. And who was playing better and how they played. They had, again, what I said 15 minutes ago, they added Ndamukong Suh in the middle of that defense.
Yeah.
You know, Suh the type of player he was 8 years ago? No. Wasn't that long ago he was an Aaron Darnold, and you're thinking, he can't block these guys up. We got to trap their ass in a Super Bowl. And that's what they did, and that's how they won that game. But Sue's a home wrecker, man. I'll take him here.
Yeah, no kidding.
Jesus.
Peter's in JP. Peter.
Guys, how you doing?
Hi, Peter.
Peter, you mentioned this a couple of minutes ago. I totally agree. It's starting to come out that Tom was frustrated with his lack of input into the offense, okay? To me, that relates directly to Josh McDaniels. I haven't heard his name come up once. And the one thing I noticed last year, okay, was when the defense was on the field, Tom Brady was, no one was near him. He was on the bench, looking down at the ground. He was never talking to Josh McDaniels. But if he wants
was.
To be a part
every
of
time
the
he came off the field, they sat down together. Every time they came off the field, I watch him. I watch his mannerisms. I keep my eye on him. He sat down with McDaniels every time he comes off the field, and they go through the tablet and talk things
over. Not last year, though.
Yeah, see, come on.
No, I just noticed it, okay? I'm just bringing it up. But why hasn't Josh Daniels, okay, to me.
Handcuffed. Okay,
hello?
All right, Peter, we're going to let you go. We get your point, which is that Josh McDaniels and Brady didn't have the same relationship last year as they had in previous years.
I think Brady knew Josh was limited. I think Josh knew that they were limited in what they can do. Peter, you talk about watching players. You watch Edelman while I'm trying to call a game. Was he able to lift one of his arms above his shoulder over half the season? No.
No.
So you're dealing with your main receiver not having the ability to lift his arms up. You didn't have N'Keal Harry for the first half of the year.
All right.
You get Sanu. He gets hurt on a punt
return. But the McDaniels thing, was there anything to it? You've said no repeatedly.
No. I don't think there's anything to it. I really don't. I mean, go to Tom versus Time. Is he FaceTiming or talking to Josh?
Yes.
Or is he talking to Bill?
And the relationship was really good then.
Yeah, so all of a sudden that relationship has soured in a year?
Something happened.
Or do you think you don't have tight ends, or you don't have your fullback, or you're not running the ball the way you're running? They couldn't pick up a freaking third one again last year. Yeah. And then when you're banged up personally, which obviously Brady must have been when Bill talked about, you know, Stid's been there a lot. You know, many weeks we didn't have Tom. Practice. That's part of it.
Bob in the car and Brady. Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi. How you doing, Bob?
First time First time ever calling on this show.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. I got a specific question for Zoe, if you don't mind, because
sure.
I know, Zoe, you and Brady are pretty good friends.
We're okay.
Anyway, here's my thought. Well, I like it. Okay. Here's my thought. Now, Jimmy G was still with the team during Super Bowl, the fifth Super Bowl ring, correct?
Right.
And so I thought that if things had worked out perfectly, Tom would have said, you know what, I've done all I could here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be heading out and handing the keys over to Jimmy G and taking off. And people thought I was crazy bringing that up, because now we wouldn't be facing all this dilemma about the next quarterback's going to be, because we had him in the fold. And I wanted to get your take on this, Zoe, and I'll listen to you. And thanks for letting me get on the on the show.
That game you bring up, that fifth ring, the whole transfer to Garoppolo that year. And we talked about this the other day, 2 days ago. If that second half didn't turn out differently in that game, that could have been a hell of a different offseason. I don't know if they would have pulled the plug on Brady in the second half of that game.
Oh, God.
And I thought this after the pick six. You're down that much.
Revisionist Garoppolo people drive me crazy.
I know, but you're going to get blown out. Brady covered his ass in that game. He brought your ass back. He prevented it. He outlived it again. He outlived the plan.
Brady
won. Brady won the Garoppolo thing.
Brady leads them to the comeback. Brady leads them to the comeback over the Falcons. 28-3, they come back. They win the Super Bowl. They then traded Garoppolo in the middle of Brady having what was an MVP season.
Yeah.
And you were running around telling everyone they need to trade Brady in the middle of him being the MVP of the league. Yeah, I don't believe you. Yeah, people thought you were crazy because you were. That's why.
Yeah.
It was not the right move. And then, I don't know if you remember, but they went to two more Super Bowls after that, one in which Brady played his balls off and threw for over 500 yards.
That was the MVP
coach
year.
Benched Malcolm Butler, right? And then he came back and they won another one the next year over the Rams, which now some bobos in the media have started to throw out there as, oh, they probably could have won that Super Bowl against the Rams without Tom Brady. In fact, that probably offers piece of evidence why they should move on from Brady.
Yeah.
Like, well, we should totally discount the entire season and what it took to get to that game.
Well, those morons didn't watch the AFC title game in Kansas City then. And Brady carried your ass again in the second half.
I've already heard that. The rebuttal to that is that Brady was missing throws on first and second downs, which led to those key third down plays. Believe what you want. You either believe Tom Brady was a big part of going to three consecutive Super Bowls and winning two of them, or you don't. And if you don't believe he was a big part of it, I don't really care much for your football opinions, to be quite honest with you. I don't. You're probably the guy who was in the middle of the MVP season on the way to going to the Super Bowl and throwing for 505. Was it 505?
505.
Is that the yardage?
505.
Throwing for 505 and trying to overcome the benching of Malcolm Butler. He couldn't. He just, if you gave him the ball again, whoever had the ball last was probably going to win. Maybe if he had the ball one more time, he would have been able to lead them on another game-winning drive. Maybe. It's painful. And by the way, Jimmy Garoppolo, good, not great. Not great.
Biggio. Craig Biggio.
Not sure if you caught the Super Bowl this year, the one that Garoppolo played in, but his team couldn't hold it together in the final quarters. FYI, in case you missed that big game back in February, last month, not that long ago.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Want to hear some awesome sound for Bruce Arians?
I would love to.
I mean, awesome. It's so honest and like true, yet hilarious that he is saying it. Maybe it's because we're so exposed to Bill Belichick and we're used to head coaches saying nothing at all. But Bruce Arians did an interview yesterday in which he broke down how they were going to handle their quarterback situation this offseason. They obviously got Tom Brady, which was their goal. He explains how it would have gone down if they didn't get Tom Brady. That's coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Pointed out, Brady did have the ball at the end of the Eagles Super Bowl when he got strip sacked by Brandon Graham.
Right.
They had the ball one more time after that. That's all. If he had more time on the clock, I feel like they could have won the game. But yeah, it's fair to bring up the strip sack, which I was on the was before the 2-minute warning, but whatever.
Yeah, it's weird. They still got the ball back after that.
They did. They had the ball again.
They had a Hail Mary again, right?
I remember your analysis on the broadcast of that final drive, like the final minute of what was probably going through Brady's mind and what they needed to accomplish on each individual play. I thought it was some of your finest work, so.
Very nice of you. I appreciate that.
I thought it was excellent. I remember that. I remember thinking through that.
It's funny how that most of that stuff plays out, and I keep going back to that, even the Atlanta one, Bob and I at the end of that fourth quarter, through the fourth quarter, as it's unraveling and communicating with everybody, and like that was some of our best stuff. So
We are going to take a diversion for a moment here, Zoe, because
what?
We were going to play that Bruce Arians audio.
We'll get to it. We got time.
I think we're going to have a guest in a moment.
Oh, good. I like guests. Some guests, only good guests.
Can't see if it's a yay or nay here. T-Bone's going to have to tell us in a moment. Is that?
Yeah.
Is that our guest on the line? I could see it. I could see a phone picked up.
Pull it up.
No, are we good? Let's welcome in on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. No stranger to this show, Miami Dolphin, Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah.
What's going on? What's going on? That sounded weird, huh?
What's up, player?
Oh,
it is,
man.
A little weird.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I'm really excited. I'm pumped. I got nothing but love for you guys in New England.
Of course.
You guys will always be family to me, but I'm ready to go up against you guys twice a year now. Let's go.
How easy was the phone call or the meeting with you and B. Flo and Brian Flores, head coach down there, and the system that he runs, and how easy, and I don't want to say easy, it's going to be easy, but from a terminology standpoint, the calls, your expectations of what he expects of the defense. How home or at home do you feel here, this being now your third home? You were in Detroit, you came here, now you're going there.
Yeah. To be honest, I was obviously familiar with B-Flo, but it was more of what he's got going on. It wasn't necessarily, I know the defense and all that. It was, I'm going into a new challenge. I'm one of the older players on the team. I think we only have one player over 30, and that's Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I'm part of that older group, and I'm excited for that chance to be a leader.
All right, so the real reason we want to talk to you today is because of Netflix Tiger King. But I got to ask you before we do that, what do you think of Brady going to Tampa?
I was just like everybody else. I was shocked and a little bit, but I felt like I could see the writing on the wall with, just how things went and just how things played out. So, I wish he was a lifer in New England, because I think that would have been a really cool story. But, I'm happy for him. He got what he wanted. He got a $50 million contract guaranteed. That is amazing. It doesn't matter how much money you've earned, that's still a bunch of money.
Yeah, But so, you say Kyle, you say writing on the wall. What are some of the things you may have seen? Was it his demeanor? Was it that respect of, you know, the 2 for 50 guaranteed that I think every player wants, that Drew Brees type contract?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think when they didn't get a, I would say the writing on the wall was just not getting a deal before free agency.
Yeah.
You know, that to me was kind of like, okay, it doesn't look like he's going to stay, because you would think with him being there for that long that it would have got done, but who knows? I don't know how he's done stuff in the past, but to me that was a big, like, oh man, it's going to get real.
All right, so you've been watching Tiger King on Netflix, as have we, and it's insane.
There's so many things to talk about. I mean, we could talk about from the Butch tattoo to Carol for the half of the season was a big talker to, I don't know, is the second husband. Like, told her to shut up, and he just talked the rest of the time. Like, I mean, you can go so many different avenues in this show. But I will say the one thing I was impressed with, unlike Aaron Hernandez documentary and the other ones, because I feel like I'm a movie expert and a TV expert, is they got real quality interviews from, like, the people that were heavily, heavily, heavily involved, which – to me, that's all about making a good documentary.
Yeah, you realize you're gonna be playing ball down there where all these wackos live, right? You're like, you're gonna be 10 miles from Monkey Jungle. Like, I'm telling you, there's a whole other different monkey world down there. Like, I spent a lot of time in Florida.
If Jeff Lowe's not in prison, I'm about to go check out his safari, man.
Well, Mario's right there in Miami, man.
Oh,
Mario,
yeah,
the real life Tony Montana.
He'll hook you up.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That was buck wild, too. I mean, that was a – they only did a snippet of that, but woo, that was pretty legit.
Hey, yeah, your wife got to be pretty fired up about Miami, too. Just a little change of scenery. And, man, were you down there for – you were down there for the Super Bowl. You were down there for the Super Bowl,
I
right?
I was.
Yeah.
I was.
Thanks for coming by the way. That was really nice of you.
Hey, that wasn't my fault. That wasn't my fault. There was a little miscommunication in there, but
it's okay.
You know, I would say we'll both blame each other. How about that? You guys were busy. I was busy. We were all busy, right?
It's crazy busy.
I don't agree with that assessment. No, I'm not.
I don't think it was. I don't think it was easy to get around down there. I don't.
No, it was not. It definitely was not.
Yeah, it was pretty wild down there. That's for sure. I mean, you guys did make time for Matty P.
Matty P's my man, you know.
Oh, so I'm not. I'm just.
No, I know. We go way back. Now.
I heard that.
How much? And you took the shot at me. You took the shot at me when I take a little bit of time away at Christmas break. You go on with our backups. You know, not that our backups are bad. You was taking shots at me and Beetle for not being in Christmas week.
Yeah, you guys were BSing. You're getting comfortable.
Yeah, that's right.
It's true. It is true. So we haven't watched all the way through Tiger King though.
Haven't? Oh
no,
man,
I'm only a couple episodes in. I started the third. Zoe ripped off five of them yesterday.
Two or three more. Yeah.
The assignment was to watch one, but we couldn't stop. You know, it was.
Yeah.
If it were not 1 o'clock in the morning, I would have kept going, but I went to bed. And now I know today I'm going to rip off all these episodes because it's that crazy. It is.
It is. It is. To me, what hooked me is it's a world I have no idea about.
Exactly.
But it's so intriguing. I mean, the characters that are in this industry is out of this world crazy.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I feel that way. I feel this is something I never even really knew existed.
You got to, like, your kid's young yet. When your kid gets a little bit older, you got to drive up to West Palm Beach And directly west of the airport is Lion Country Safari. You take your car through there and you drive through. Lion's coming up to your car. It's crazy.
You done it?
We did it. Yeah, we take the kids there all the time. Hell yeah.
Joe's been to all these weird places. I've never been to any of these places.
You got to go monkey,
monkey jungle.
Nah. Monkey jungle in Miami.
Tiger Safari or any of this stuff. But Zoe's all about it. Zoe's been to run more times than he can count.
You got to run through Monkey Jungle quick because the monkey takes the poo and slings the poo at you through the cage.
Oh, for real?
Oh, yeah.
I can't do that. I'm not doing that.
Hey,
I'm not getting poo thrown at me by a monkey. I'm good at that.
No, you don't need any of that. My last off-the-field question for you, you obviously do a lot, you know, with your charity and the amount of attention you brought to that up here. You going to be doing the same down there in Miami?
Yeah, you know, we're actually working on something right now, especially with what's going on right now in the world. I hope everyone's staying safe. I hope everyone's tuning in to Zoe and B. Honestly, it's crazy. I really hope everyone stays safe, and we're definitely going to bring that same energy we had in New England down to Miami. We want to help out a lot of people. You know, we're setting things up to help out families right now as we speak, because we know people are going through a tough time, and, you know, we want everybody to stay safe and just wash your hands and stay clean.
All right, man. You know, Danny Marino does a ton of stuff down there. That's my boy. Tell him I said hi, get around him, and you'll be off and running with that off-the-field stuff. But you can call us anytime, man, and we'll tell Felger and Maz you said hi.
you know what's funny is I asked my wife, I was like, should I say something in my goodbye speech about them? And I'm like, nah, that's giving them too much credit. But I thought about it.
That's good. You know what?
Imagine if I had them in there. Oh, they would have ate that up, man.
They would have ate it up, but then they get so egotistical that they think they own real estate in your head.
In my head, exactly. Yeah. I can't give them that.
Be tripping. That's right. All right, man. Hey, we appreciate it.
God, now they can talk trash about me for real.
Oh, now, twice a year.
Yeah,
twice a year.
I know. Oh, man, if they beat us, it's, oh, he's, no, no, no. I can't wait. Kisses to everyone, man. I appreciate you guys. You guys have been the best to me. You guys have been riding with me from day one since I've got there, so I appreciate you guys. I hope you guys find someone else entertaining to take over. I know Gilly does a little bit, but we know Gilly, so I hope you can find somebody else.
We will. Yeah. You got Aaron and Stacy there that's monitoring those calls, so we got to get someone.
He locks everybody down on the field, and then he locks up when you get him on the air.
I hear you.
All right, Kyle, we appreciate it, bud. You the best.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all. Take care, bud.
See you, bud.
Kyle Van Noy, former Patriot linebacker, current Miami Dolphin linebacker. Great contract for him. Terrific.
What was the guaranteed money on his?
It was a lot. It was good. It was a good deal. Happy for him.
Yeah. He's down there with the freak shows now too, though. But he's got to deal with the lion people and the tiger people and, you know, exotic reptiles. One of the coolest things about being down there in Los Olsen, you're driving those damn kimono dragons are up in the trees, just walking around down on the street, sitting in cafes, and here comes these kimono dragons. It'll freak you out, man.
Yeah.
Florida's a little wacky.
And so, you know, you hear so much about guys doing charity work. I'm glad you brought up the Van Noy Valor Foundation that he has done a lot with. I mean,
oh my God.
You know, you hear about guys all the time do charity work. You know, every team and every player is involved doing something in charity. But what Kyle Van Noy has done has been above and beyond. He's done terrific work with his foundation. So,
yeah, some guys just show up and slap the name to it. He's on the ground, and he had so much great support from his teammates. They're just showing up at these events on Tuesdays and caring about the kids downtown, and, you know, especially the adoption thing in his own story. So he'll bring a lot more awareness to that, and he's got something in the works now for people going through coronavirus. So we'll keep you updated on that when we hear more on it.
Yeah. So excellent work by him and his wife Marissa as well, and obviously they'll continue that down in Miami.
I'm happy for them. They're Miami people. They're Miami type people.
And that guarantee money was $30 million.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, he wants that 50, back. Though.
What's that?
He wants that 50 Brady got. You heard that.
Well, it's a $50 million deal. The guarantees was 30, so.
He knew the writing was on the wall, huh?
That's what he said. Interesting comment there. Interesting comment. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We'll get back to your calls. We are going to get to that Bruce Arians audio as well, because he gave just a wonderful answer that I heard it and I laughed at it. I did an LOL, so I laughed out loud.
That's what that is, huh? GFO, yes. Huh? Yeah.
It's great. You'll hear it coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
Nibbling on sponge cake. Bruce Arians went on the Rich Eisen show a couple of days ago to talk to Rich Eisen about getting Tom Brady, but also was asked about Jameis Winston, Zoe.
Huh.
Jameis Winston, who I read yesterday is having trouble finding a job. There's not much of a market for Jameis Winston.
He's kind of still out there, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, he's very much still out there.
Yeah.
So he hasn't found a job yet. We'll see if he does. Meanwhile, Bruce Arians, the head coach in Tampa Bay, the guy who just landed Tom Brady, went on Rich Eisen and was asked about Jameis Winston and his future and what would you tell other coaches looking at him, all that stuff. Here's the answer. Listen to this.
What would you tell a team that knocks on the door, maybe to you, about Jameis if they're interested in his services? What would you tell them, Bruce?
Yeah, I've called a couple of teams that you're going to get one of the hardest workers you've ever had and a great young man. It didn't work out for us only because Tom Brady was available, and we had Teddy Bridgewater. If that would have worked out, if not, we were going full steam ahead back with Jameis. He's a great young man, and nobody's going to outwork him.
Oh my God! when he says Teddy Bridgewater's name, I still laugh.
That knocks him down to three or four. Does that include door number two, or is Brady door number two? Because he already mentioned Brady. Remember at the combine, he mentioned Brady, but he also said door number two, maybe if Breeze was available or Rivers.
Oh, my God. Like, what is that, though? What would you say? Well, I'd say he'd be a terrific third option.
Only because Tom Brady was available. Yeah. And we had Teddy Bridgewater.
We pursued the biggest free agent available. We paid him $50 million guaranteed. If we didn't land him, we were going to aggressively pursue Teddy Bridgewater. And if that didn't work, oh, man, we'd be right there for Jameis.
Yeah.
God.
You were third or fourth on our plan. But he called teams to tell him what a great kid he was because he worked hard. And let me ask you this. Do you think Brian Hoyer works hard? Yeah. He's a damn hard worker. Think he's a good kid? A great kid. Great guy.
Sure.
Kind of saying the same thing. Yeah, I mean, okay, what's up with the turnovers, Bruce?
What do you say when someone's not good? Well, they work hard.
They work hard, they have great health, nice guy, nice family.
Trying to say something nice about somebody.
Puts in a lot of time at the facility.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
I thought that was incredible.
All the guys in the locker room like him. Yeah, nice.
I mean, that's such an indictment of Jameis Winston. He says it. He tried to say something nice about him, and I think it goes the other way.
I did too.
Yeah. Like, I hear that and I go, what?
Yeah.
Oh, we wanted to try like hell to not have Jameis Winston be our quarterback. We were going to pursue aggressively Brady, and we landed him. And if not Brady, we would have aggressively pursued Teddy Bridgewater. And then, and only then, oh, man, it'd be great to have Jameis back. But he's a hard worker. Someone else will have to pay him now.
Yeah. So, you awesome. You know what else, too? Speaking of football and Brady and all this stuff, so they're replaying all the old Super Bowls, like Super Bowl classics. I actually watched the Giants and the Ravens, the Ray Lewis one with my kid the other night. But last night I didn't watch it. I was watching a 2004 Philadelphia-New England game.
I thought it was too soon to be watching those games.
No. But I could watch sporadically. I just didn't like ESPN, who was the head of the Flakegate stuff, trying to shove 7 hours down my throat on Sunday. Wow. They don't make me watch it.
Oh, you're such
it.
A baby.
I'm not letting
the Flakegate stuff.
I don't forget that crap. Whatever. They were at the front of that crap. They never.
Who cares what channel it's on? Whatever. I was happy they were providing it for us.
So David Gibbons catches that first touchdown, tied up 7-7.
Yeah.
And then you hear the Gary Glitter. Rock, our old touchdown song. Da-da. If you're going to tweak the uniforms, isn't it time to tweak the touchdown song from This Is Our House?
I'm pretty sure they're not going back to Gary Glitter.
I know the background there. I understand that. I'm not saying go back to Gary Glitter. But, boy, do we have a good man. That song was awesome. It really was. And I'm not saying Gary Glitter's awesome. I know what Gary Glitter's accused of. Okay, I'm not trying to say that.
Can we find something that gets people as excited as Gary Glitter would get people?
That place, it had the whole place rocking. It had the old Foxborough Stadium rocking. Remember the Teddy Bruschi snow game? Hey, everybody throws the snow up in the air. Yeah, we need that. We need something like that to ignite it, to get it going again.
So you're saying we need a song that someone actually gives a damn about or is interested in hearing?
Bingo.
Because what they have now is not that.
Well, hey. This is our house. Derek.
It's just so forced. It's so fake because, as we know, it's not because, hey, let's find a great song that gets the crowd excited. It's let's hook up our buddy Bon Jovi. That's all that is.
He had so many good songs, too, that you could have picked. I'd have taken Little Round of Prayer. That would have got him going, Feed them. Feed the people it. They need it. Know the room,
something exciting, right?
Know the room.
Hey, do you know that today's an anniversary, Zoe?
No.
It's a Patriots anniversary. I'll tell you what it is, and we'll get to your calls right after these headlines. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.